Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is the incorruptible seed of God, and that it never returns back to God void, but it always accomplishes that for which he sends it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and Isaiah 55, 11. I want to talk a little bit about the harvest of seed sowing in this podcast. What we sow, we can expect to reap, according to Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, which tells us that we are going to reap what we sow. Here's the exact word in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you are obeying God. You're a part of the body of Christ, and therefore you are active in the great commission of the Lord. The more I go on in studying the Word of God and walking with Jesus, the more apparent it seems to become that we can know who the true remnant of Christ is by whether or not they are actively praying for, supplying for, and obeying and doing the great commission Jesus sent his people to do. In fact, he said the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few, in the end of Matthew chapter 9. Also, Luke 12:32, Jesus called his people, his remnant, a little flock. You may want to take that which was just stated and to examine yourself to see if you're actually a part of the kingdom of Christ, regardless of whether or not you were individually, you were at one point born again. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? 2 Corinthians 13:5. How can Jesus Christ be in us, living in us as his children, and he being our first love, our identity, and we not be carrying out what he commanded? That, my friends, would be impossible. Let me also say, it's okay to get humble and repent. Anybody that gets upset because you challenge their salvation based on Scripture has a whole lot of pride, and they only prove that the accusation is correct, and they are the ones in need of repentance. But many times they will actually attempt to and literally attack the mere messengers of the truth of God. I don't know about you, Saints, but I praise God for those who came along the way and preached the truth, irregardless of my stupid feelings. And thank God it led to repentance. Hallelujah. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, right? Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 10. So as we continue to sow the good, the incorruptible seed of God's word into the hearts of men, good news will continue to flow, will continue to be reaped, because God's word prospers in the thing where he sends it. Notice Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Speaking of laborers in the Fields of the Lord. I was listening to a song I love today by Harvest. I'm going to read some of the lyrics to this Harvest song, which came out, I believe, in the 80s, called Voices. What a band Harvest was. Wow. Absolutely some of the most incredible gospel-inspired and inspiring lyrics and messages in music that I have personally ever heard, and it's continued to fuel my life in Christ and the absolute fervency we should have to share the gospel with others. In fact, I don't know how you can claim Christ and not have a desire and not be active in communicating the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go gather a stadium of people. I don't believe that's God's necessarily perfect will anyway. It's one by one that we reach the lost in most cases. And the scripture says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they go except they be sent? Romans 10, 14 and 15. Everyone who names the name of Christ should be participating in a great commission, at least in one of the 3 points, perhaps, that we could say that we participate. Number one, prayer. For lost souls to be saved and for the body of Christ to be fed and grow in the grace of God. So, number one, prayer for the Great Commission. Number two, giving to support it. Number three, action in communicating and getting the Word of God into the hearts and the minds of the people who need to hear them. Sowing the seed of the Word of God, which we're talking about in this message, titled The Harvest of Seed Sowing. And so we see here the title, Voices, the title of the song by Harvest. And the lyrics start off, they say, voices in the city, voices in the street, voices in each home across the land, voices in the churches saying, peace, be still. Where are all the voices in my fields? Now notice the biblical imagery he's grabbing here. John chapter 4, Jesus speaks about the fields that are white already to harvest. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus came and was about his Father's business. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And anyone who's following Jesus is about the Father's and Christ's business. The Great Commission is the business of the Father, for which he sent his Son, and his Son sent us. Verse 35, John 4, Jesus says this, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. There's the word I was looking for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor. So he gives an agricultural illustration of the sowing of the Word of God, especially, namely, it appears, with lost souls. And he promises that we're going to reap rewards eternally. But he says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already. They're already ready to harvest. And that's what the lyrics here are referring to. Where are all the voices in my fields? Then the chorus is millions and millions dying, millions and millions crying, millions and millions don't know who I am. Children on the highways, children on the run, mothers in the alleyways, they're killing all their sons. The world is blinded in darkness, I've given them the way. Where are all my voices to lead them out today? Wow, that really captures the essence and the importance, saints, of, and it should be very sobering to us, of how important it is to put the Word of God into the hearts of the people. Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now, speaking of laborers in the harvest,
Brother Tom and Sister Karen Cochran in Pennsylvania wrote this. So today I was driving through our town, she says, Sister Karen, and I saw a guy sitting. Now, they've been flooding their town with the Jesus Tract. By the way, the Jesus Tract is available to anyone who wants to access it here on safeguardyoursoul.com. And all you have to do is click one time on the PDF download, and you can save to your device the Jesus Tract PDF, which is print ready. Amen. And you can print them off of any printer. You can go pay a guy at a print shop to do it, or a copy shop. It's very easy. People all over the nation are doing it, and in some parts of the world, and they have a ready-made gospel message. The Jesus Tract is said by some to be one of the most, or the most powerful gospel tract they've ever read. It's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want to invite you to do that. In fact, at the bottom of this post on the safeguardyoursoul.com entry, we're going to have the Jesus Tract link where you can go to that page and read the Jesus Tract and see if you want to download the PDF, print ready PDF, and have those printed, or go get them printed. All you got to do is go into an Office Depot or go into any print shop and email them from your device the PDF and ask them if they can print it and how much it's going to be, etc. So Sister Karen says, after they have been for months and months distributing the Jesus Tract all over town in their town in Pennsylvania, she says, so today I was driving through our town and saw a guy sitting on his porch reading the Jesus Tract. Wow. Praise Jesus. She says, I prayed that the words he was reading would be sealed in his heart. They are being left throughout our town. Every day I put one on top of a newspaper stand. It is always gone the next day. Seeds of God's word are being planted all over our town and will not return void. Isaiah 55:11, hallelujah, unquote, Karen Cochran. So as Christ labors, our duty is, and our privilege, getting the seed of our Lord's word into the hearts of the people. And that's of the utmost of divine priority. Getting the word of God into the hearts of the people is by and of the utmost priority in the mind of God and in the plan of God and in the will of God. Notice, again, the seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11, and we're born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, when God's seed, the word of God, is sown, the Lord can bring an increase of conviction, drawing the sinner to himself and bringing him to salvation. That's what Jesus said he was going to do when he went to the cross. He said, when I be lifted up, that is, on the cross, I'm going to draw all men unto me. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 3:6-9, says, I have planted, that is the seed of the word of God, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who gives the increase? God does. You see, we can't save anyone. We couldn't even save ourselves, right? Right. But we're here to do what? Plant the word of God and water the seed of the word of God. In other words, sometimes when you begin ministering to somebody, they've already been ministered to somewhere in their life. Might have been 20 years ago. Doesn't matter. The word of God is alive in them. It's been placed in them, and it never returns void, but it always accomplishes what? Well, one of the things it accomplishes is it convicts the sinner to repent. Notice, do you remember Psalm 19:7? What a monumental verse this is. I recommend that you memorize it. The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the word of God is going to convict the sinner and convert the soul of those who repent. It's going to make wise the simple. Why? Because they're going to repent. They're going to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the scripture tells us. And so when you fear God, you're going to take that word that you've been given and you're going to act on it. You're going to repent. We're seeing people here in Mexico do that. We're seeing people all over the United States. We're seeing people all over the world that are repenting at the hearing of the word of God. But you've got to plant the word of God in their heart and mind. And that's why we've created this Jesus track. I should say God inspired it. It was written and began to be printed in 1994, and it's been distributed all over the world and probably today being distributed more than ever. And you are welcome to print it out and distribute it any way you like. We highly recommend that to you as a born-again believer. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 3:6 through 9, that I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Notice it's God who saves the soul, not us. That ought to lift a whole lot of undue, unwarranted obligation and burden off of us. We're here to love them, to show them Christ in word and deed and in disposition, and give them the gospel. I put something out on social media this week. Just imagine yourself, think about it, handing out one track, one gospel track a day, and sharing with the individual that you're giving the track to that Jesus Christ loves you. He proved it by coming to die for your sins on that cross. And he was buried and raised again from the dead. That's the gospel right there. And that's very simple. You can be led by the Spirit, and he's always going to lead you according to the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But just imagine passing out that one track, perhaps with just a smile, a warm smile. No one in the world except the remnant body of Christ has the love, the joy, and the peace of God. Therefore, everyone else in the world that's not one of the born-again blood washed remnant believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, is miserable. Doesn't matter what they have. Doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. They don't have peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, the unsaved. There's only two kingdoms in the earth, and it's not black and white. It's not Indian against Pakistan and Russia against Ukraine or Nigeria against Kenya or rich against the poor. No, they are those who are in the light. They're born again, and everybody else is in darkness. You're either in Christ or you're against Christ. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. There is no neutral position. If you're not a born-again believer today, and you cannot say, I am born again and washed in the blood of Jesus, and my life has been completely changed from the inside out as Jesus saved me, then you're a part of the kingdom of darkness. And the good news is that you can choose right now to get on your knees before God and to repent and tell him what he already knows, that you are a sinner and that you're sorry. You admit that honestly and openly, and you repent. You turn your life to God, and you receive Jesus Christ into your life, and you begin to serve him from this day forward, denying yourself daily, taking up your cross, and following the King who's coming from heaven soon, laying down your life in this world and bearing fruit to the glory of the one who came and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and raised again from the dead, Jesus Christ. So God is the one who brings that increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. That's it. You and I are laborers together with God. Ye are God's building, he says. You don't need to go to some building on Sunday morning. You need to get up every day and study the word of God, fellowship with other believers, and live a life of prayer, putting God first every morning upon awaking, by devouring his word, by spending quality moments in prayer with him, and by ministering and building up and praying for the body of Christ. and fellowshipping with true members, Bible believers, people that live the Word. You're not going to find a whole lot of them in these church buildings. If that's what you want to do, that's up to you prayerfully. And I would encourage you to discern that carefully, because so many false prophets, as the Bible has warned us about in this last hour, have risen up and have deceived many. They occupy pulpits. They're basically real estate managers, and they're there to entertain you on Sunday morning in most cases so that they can collect their salary money and to pay the rent on the building, etc. They're not there to make sure you grow in grace, that you get in the Word for yourself, as the Bible instructs you to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself. You do it, approved unto God. And the pastor isn't going to be standing there helping Jesus judge you on Judgment Day. Jesus gave you all your faculties. You could go out and pass all kinds of school classes, right? Get a degree, learn all kinds of other stuff. You're 100% fully responsible and accountable to God to get into the Word so the Word gets in you and you have a working knowledge of the doctrines of Scripture. That's your responsibility. And also to walk with God, to obey Him, to live out the gospel, to live to please Jesus Christ every day. And what happens, people get saved and they start going to church and they fall away in most cases, because they basically going to be told, be a spectator, come on in here, sit down, shut up, and pay your tithes. That's not the gospel we see being operated and lived out in the New Testament scriptures. Not at all. Philip led the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus. Did Philip tell him to go find a church? No, he is the church now. The church is the people of God. By the way, God took Philip right then and there, 40 miles away, a miracle, to another town called Azotus. So Philip didn't necessarily feel the responsibility to disciple that guy, that Ethiopian eunuch who was going back to Ethiopia. Don't you know God can take care of those He saves? Last time I checked, He's large and in charge. He doesn't need you. Yes, we are to feed the flock of God in as much as it's warranted. It's always warranted, but in as much as it is something we have the ability to do. But sometimes you're going to get somebody saved, or you're going to plant seed, and you're never going to see them again. God can take care of those that He's convicting and those He saves. So plant that seed. Plant the seed of the Word of God. So what's the future look like for those who sow, those who plant God's Word in the hearts of people, of sinners? Here it is, Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sowing in tears has to do with sowing out of a heart of flesh, a poor in spirit disposition that loves the Lord and is completely dependent upon Him. And that's going to weigh heavy when you minister, when I minister, is whether or not we're truly walking in the Spirit ourselves. The weight of God's glory is going to be in that as we are living a life of prayer. We don't just have a prayer life. We're entrenched in an abiding, vital union with Christ, John 15, and we're going to bear fruit, more fruit, and then much fruit. There's a progression, John 15, 1 through 6. They that sow in tears, Psalm 126, shall reap in joy, eternal glory ultimately. In fact, Sister Karen, her testimony of seeing a guy reading that tract, her and her husband sowed that tract into her town. And she's riding down the street as God would have it and witnesses a man reading that tract. So she is reaping immediate joy. Notice they that sow in tears, sow with prayer out of a heart that loves God, are going to reap in joy. Ultimately, that reaping will be eternal glory with heaven's King, Jesus Christ. And then it says, verse 6, Psalm 126, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, that's the Word of God, make no mistake, shall doubtless, without doubt, shall of a surety come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, his harvest, with him. Don't you know that everyone who participates in the Great Commission, regardless of what they do, is going to be rewarded? Remember earlier we read Jesus speaking in John 4 verse 36 and promising that there's going to be a reward for those who labor in the fields of harvest. Notice John chapter 4 verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. Remember, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where no thief can break through and steal. It's eternal in its value. It will never end. That's the reward that will keep on giving. And it's going to be based on your obedient, prayerful action in the gospel of Christ. So you're going to gather fruit or life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. In other words, everybody that is involved, those that are sowing and reaping, are going to reap equal reward based on their own labor, another scripture says. Maybe that's Romans 14:10, etc. According to your work, you're going to be rewarded. Notice here in 1 Samuel on this point, chapter 30, verse 24, the scripture says this, for who will hearken unto you in this matter, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, in other words, the frontliners, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. They're going to all partake alike. Notice the word alike. They're going to be equally rewarded. Listen, if in one instance God's called you to the front line, praise the Lord. You're obedient, you're going to be rewarded. If in another instance God calls you to give money to fund an exploit, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, Daniel 11:30. So if you're in one situation praying for and maybe supplying financially, yet you're not able to go to the battle front line, you're still going to be rewarded alike, the same. Isn't that a blessing? Again, you want to grab this truth, 1 Samuel 30, verse 24. Everybody in warfare in our military does not do the same function. And Paul said the body of Christ is like our human body. There's the elbow, the toe, the finger, the nose, the ear. Every part does what God has ordained them to do. We can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Suffice it to say, notice here in beginning in verse 4, concerning the functioning of each part of the body of Christ. Now there are diversities of gifts, that is, in the body of Christ, but the same Holy Spirit working in each member. And there are differences of administrations, or how the word and the gospel are administered, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit with all. So that would go for ministering to and among the members of the body of Christ, and also in evangelism. What a blessing. Lori Cox, a dear sister in Christ, longtime friend, Lori says this, just letting you know, I've been putting the Jesus tracks in empty gym lockers. Amen. I've done that too. I love it. When I go to the gym and praying that God's Spirit moves on the hearts of the people that get one, as you know, He can do it. Have a blessed day, Sister Lori Cox. What a blessing. Remember, saints, as we come in for a close, we're going to pray here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's speaking of what Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no man having laid or put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We're not to look to the left hand nor to the right. We're to remove our feet from evil. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. Also, how about Hebrews 10:35, beginning of verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense, or repaying of reward. As a big reward coming for those who don't look left or right. Lot's wife turned all the way around, right? We're not even to look left or right. I believe that's Proverbs 4:27. Memorize it. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What does that mean? We're going to cash in at the end, as we endure to the end, for rewards that are absolutely unfathomable at this point. Verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that means perseverance, that after that you have done the will of God all the way to the end, Jesus said you must endure to the end to be saved, that's final salvation, ye might receive the promise of what? Of eternal life. Verse 37, this is all right at the end of Hebrews 10. For yet a little while, then he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, amen, perpetually. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And I'm coupling that with what we are reading in 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. How do you do that, brother? Fast and pray. Be full of the Word of God every day. Fast and pray. There's no sin, no lethargy, no let up that can't be overcome by starving the flesh and feeding the spirit. Jesus said, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 12, verse 40. That's a memory verse. That is Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Paul is saying in the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, being full of, rejoicing, reveling in, engaged in the work of the Lord. A lot of people fall away because they're not obeying Jesus. They find something else to do. You're either about the Father's business or you're about your own business. It's one or the other. And that's going to tell you right there whether or not you are a true remnant disciple of Jesus Christ ready for his return. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, we've been reading in these passages all the way through this message about God rewarding his people. Your labor is not in vain. God will pay you huge dividends according to your labor. Remember, let's look at Romans 14, verse 10. I believe that's the one we need here. Romans 14, 10 speaks of every one of us giving account. We're going to stand before God to give account of our lives before what's called the Bema seat. That's those that are saved. But 1 Corinthians 3:8, the passage we read earlier, it says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Karen Cochran, as we close and pray here in a minute, she said this, she wrote recently concerning 1 Corinthians 15:58, which we just went through. Let me read it again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sister Karen says, this verse is for all of us who labor for the Lord. We are to be unshakable, letting nothing move us from the hope of the gospel. We are servants of Christ, ever abounding in the work of the Lord, abounding in the furthering of his gospel. Our labor, she writes, in the Lord will be rewarded. Yesterday, the Lord gave me a small reward, seeing that man sitting on his porch, the one we read about earlier, saints, and reading the Jesus track. And since we are laborers together, it is a small reward for all of us. Let me stop to say this. Many of you prayed over this ministry and over the ministering in Pennsylvania with Brother Tom and Sister Karen. And some of you gave so that we could buy the first batch of, I believe, 1,000 or 1,500 tracts for them. And they are distributing them faithfully, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so she's saying we can all rejoice over this. We, she finishes, each member of Christ's body the world over are Team Jesus. Amen. Then she finishes, and he is our eternal reward. We shall be with him forever in the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, unquote. Sister Karen Cochran. Amen. Saints, let's pray together here. Heavenly Father, you sent your only begotten Son to die on a cross, be buried, and raised from the dead to rescue, to forgive, and to save me. If you can find and save me, Lord, you can find and save anyone. Please prepare and use me, Lord Jesus, this moment into thy holy hands. I here and now submit my spirit to thee, dear Lord. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.